I want to just close out what we've been studying in Philippians and then start on Colossians. Put ice on it. Where's Wade when we need him? Well, let me just chapter 4, verse 11, Philippians. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. We spent a long time yesterday talking about contentment. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that is the predicate of faith. You can do all things, i.e. being in need or abounding or being full or being hungry, being rich, being poor, being whatever you are, whatever state you are, you can do that because of His finished work. And that's the basis of faith. It's the basis of what it means to believe. I'm still troubled by how many people outside, but that doesn't trouble me as much as here, about how many people still believe that faith is a commodity to get stuff. It is the antithesis of true Christianity. If it isn't witchcraft or sorcery, it's darn close. And so remember, we are instructed to make our requests known unto God with prayer and supplication. But we're not instructed to try to pray the right way in order that we will get what we think we want. Some of you still do that. If you don't do it consciously, you do it by your response to what happens after you've prayed. And that must be avoided because it is sorcery. It's still using that which is cursed to obtain that which you think you want. Let your request be made known unto God and then wait. It's His business. Is that clear? Yeah. I hope so.
Thinking of the opposite of that, which is if you don't tithe or whatever, then you know God's going to
kill you.
Smack you.
Yeah. Well, that's
it's
the same thing, except it's the opposite of it. I mean, it's the same coin. It's at the second side. It's waiting for the other shoe to drop. And that's just as evil as, well, that is sorcery. Understand?
When I'm seeing clearly, I realize that I don't know what God wants.
Yeah, no, there's anybody else.
I worry about the magazine.
But the point.
Who knows? I don't know. I don't know what to pray for.
Well,
I'm not complaining. I'm saying it's a good thing.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to pray for specific.
Well, you can pray for specific. Stuff. That's fine. I mean, it doesn't matter. You let your requests be made known unto God, and then through prayer and supplication, by prayer and supplication, and then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind centered. Christ Jesus. So the issue of what to pray for is never your business. If there is a desire, it's not that you shouldn't desire. The issue is that you go somewhere else other than God to fulfill that desire. Or you're like a little kid in a candy store. Most of the time, the answer to prayer, if you're a disciple, is most of the time is no. What is okay?
Well, I don't know what's okay. It's the repeating of it in your mind. It's making a mantra out of a prayer. So thinking that if I hold on to this prayer, God will see me sometime and answer it.
If the answer is always no, why does it say ask and it'll be given to you?
Because I didn't say the answer was always no, did I?
No, you said most of the time.
What is the desire of your heart? What does it mean when it says whatsoever you say shall be done for you? What does it mean if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, be thou removed, and it'll be cast into the sea? How does that line up with what I just said? Most of the time, the answer is no. Remember, you got to hear this very carefully. I believe that our desire is pure. What we desire is the revelation of the Anointed One, the revelation of the fullness Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. The desire is filtered through the Antichrist, or your idolatry, and it becomes your wants. And you can be convinced that your wants is what you want is what God wants. It becomes so, it's happened to me a million times. You've got to see prayer in the same way that the Bible was written. You've got to see prayer, whatever it is, from the top down, not from the bottom up. You've got to see prayer from eternity, not from time. Well, I'm not sure. I don't remember that prayer, but the one about importunity in Luke, when the guy keeps going to his neighbor's house, waking him up in the middle of the night to get some bread for his guests, and the guy said, "Get out of here." I think you're maybe not, but I think you're confusing a story from the Talmud with the.
There's a story about
there is that.
A woman and a judge, and she keeps appealing to the jury.
It reminds me of the one about the son asking his father, right, or give him a snake, how much more will your father give you the Holy Spirit? And he'll ask. That's the desire of your heart. And if you know who you are and you know what the relationship is, then you know that you have that. So
thinking that knowing that we've been given all things, why don't we even take the time to say, Father, I need you, please give me a place to live and protect me.
Well, the real purpose of prayer is to find intimacy with the Father. The real purpose of discipleship is to find the intimacy with the Father. The real purpose of life is to find intimacy with the Father. But that can be only be done in Christ, because the love of God is centered in Christ Jesus. And so as long as you look at life from the standpoint of a child, of a Gentile, of a young man, of a father, you will be, I mean, however you're looking at life will define how you pray. If you're in the desperate situations with regard to the plagues coming on you, then your prayer will be desperation and begging. If you have the prayer of a child, it will just be the darling infant. It'll just be, I want it, and that's it. If it's the prayer of the teenager, it's just mass confusion. You don't know what you're doing. If it's the prayer of the young adult, it's the prayer of anticipation. If it's the prayer of the father, it's the prayer of affirmation. So how you look at life defines where you are in the journey, and where you are in the journey defines your prayer. Remember, the journey is singular. All men are on the same journey. All men are born in the world, or in Egypt, which is the eternal type of the world. You all try to get to the best in the world, and the best for you, the best for your children, the best for your country, the best for whatever. You all try to get to the land of Goshen, and the plagues hit, and it just massively confuses everything. Nothing is right, nothing seems possible, nothing is going the way you thought it should. Everything, all the hopes and dreams that you have get just totally bent out of shape. And if, depending on how you've been raised and your own particular bent, you will either blame it on someone else or blame it on you. But it's not to blame on anybody, it's God. He's the one that's doing it. And then you finally see in the emptiness of the world, and you cross the Red Sea in baptism. And you die. You wander around in the wilderness, and then all of a sudden you're confronted with the law. And once you're confronted with the law, then you either ignore it, or you go back to Egypt, which is what most people do. But each place that you are on this journey, from Egypt, past the Red Sea in baptism, through the wilderness, crossing the Jordan, and again, another symbolic baptism, and then finally making it up to Jerusalem and being on the mercy seat, that's the only thing that's going on in the universe, that journey. All ancient societies, anyone with any brains, always typified life as that kind of a journey, up to the top of a mountain or someplace else. But it's all a vague type of the journey that's described in the Old Testament, which is really, the journey is you coming to the complete end of yourself, that the life of Christ in you might be revealed. And so if you think about prayer, I don't care if you've been in the if you have some desperate situation and you're praying for it, and it's consuming you, then no matter how far you've gone on that journey, you know, you're really back to the beginning. And that's so that God is slowly but surely conforming you to the image of Christ. He's slowly but surely causing his revelation to be in the inward parts, in the deepest parts of you, the hidden parts. He's making you to know truth and wisdom. But along the line, my God, nothing... My point to you, and the reason I'm saying is, The point is, don't try to figure out prayer, because you will always get, you know, blindsided. And that's the reason, because your mind wants to figure out a rule for prayer. Prayer is simply the intimacy of you talking to the Father without idols, without the idolatry. And don't even worry about the idolatry. Because if you make your request, if you, what does it say? Let your be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Just be you. But that's what the book of Hosea is about. Is that if you are committing fornication and adultery, if you go to someone else other than the Father for your needs. So he lets you do that, and you run around, and you go, and you do this and that, and this and that, and then you finally come to this mystery that only that which originates from the Father can satisfy. And you finally begin to understand that everything else that you do is just plain tiddlywinks. It's just a childish thing. But don't try to learn rules for prayer. That's like learning rules how to talk to a loved one. Is that communicate? What? Okay. What?
Trying to figure out prayer.
Well, that's what
the idea of trying to read a book and figure out how to make love, and go, okay, now the next thing I do is I move my. that artificiality is perfect. It makes me smile.
All right. The bottom line again is just whatever is there, let it be there. Don't worry about it. Oh, I shouldn't be like that. My God, I've been a believer 30 years. I shouldn't ask for that. I mean, then you're just being an idiot. An idiot. I mean, just let your request be made known unto God through prayer. But prayer is never separated from supplication. Supplication is the idea that you're gonna ask Him and you're gonna wait. Does that everybody understand that? It's real simple. If it's there, then you ask, of course. But you don't, then...
But you say first, I know there's a vein.
Stop trying to figure it out.
This thing where we started, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I was a little embarrassed because I hadn't looked at that in light of the thing just in front of me. And I still had some thoughts of.
I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I can do whatever I think
up. Whatever I want to do, and I can do that. You know, that power of Scripture.
Pulling in that Scripture at some point where you're trying to accomplish or not, at some point. You know.
Yeah, never, none of them were right, but it just clicked this morning.
None of us knew that you ever thought that.
Yeah.
That's. No, but it's great that again, it's like whatever we do, it's the same with all of us, that we all of a sudden some scripture explodes because we see it, what it meant, instead of just taking it out of context to apply to our own idolatry.
And I was reading it as a Gentile. That's what I thought about what John said, that you read this as a Gentile and none of it really makes sense. Because it's all how to get and what to do. Saying it from God's point of view, it's how to be and
everybody understand? All right. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have done well that you did communicate with my affliction. In other words, you did meet his need. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, Thessalonica, I'm so used to saying it the way they say it in Greece now, Saloniki, you sent once again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that you may abound to your account. And this is the idea that that's, you know, the justification for you giving to TBN or Benny Hinn is so that you can get. But it's predicated by Paul saying it wasn't necessary for you to give, but since you did, I mean, it's a subtle difference.
Like, I don't really need the stuff you're giving me, but because you're giving, then it's abounding.
It's abounding to your account, which is true. Giving is always honored by God. But for some greedy bastard to say give to me so you can get from God is evil. Except I think you should give right now. No, never mind. I'm not gonna. All right. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Aphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now he's in prison while he's saying, I have no need. He's in prison in Caesar's household. I mean, it's like and he's holding Bible studies with certain of the people within Caesar's household. They didn't see fruit for that for many, many, many years. The point of it is, don't look at results of your life. Don't look at whether or not something you're not doing or not doing is working or not working. None of your life is your business. None of my life is my business. There is no definition of what I should do next. There is no image of what it will happen next, will look like. And as we move through or on this incredible journey, which when we start it, we've already finished it, there's no form from our perspective of what it's supposed to look like. You're just free. So you let your request be made known unto God. You don't worry about whether you should or shouldn't. You don't think about what you're going to say. You just be. You can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth you, because Christ is your life. There is no need to pussyfoot around. There's no need to tiptoe through the rules and laws. You just be you. You take no thought for what you're going to say. You take no thought for what you're going to do. You take no thought for your life in any dimension. You know from years and years and years of experience that your efforts will result only in heartache and separation, emptiness. So you've automatically seen the futility. You just don't do it anymore. And you're free. And it's a freedom that is incomprehensible to the Gentile mind. It's a freedom beyond freedom. It's a knowing. And because it's a knowing, it's contentment in whatsoever state you find yourself. It's grace because you've been given so much graciousness. It's generosity because of His generosity. It's simply an open, graceful life because it's His life. But stop worrying about whether there's any rules or am I missing something. Or, you know, when I can't even remember. Barely do I remember this idea when I was a little kid. I'd sneak out of the house and go down to the pool hall in Arizona because that's where the people that I respected were. And so I was afraid if I wasn't there, I'd miss something. But, you know, after I did that a few times, even as a little kid, I'm not missing anything. This is crazy. And so the idea that I had to go somewhere because I was afraid I'd miss something, which I know still permeates many of you, it's just silly. That's why the ancient rabbis believed that wherever they were was the center of the universe, and they were right. The world exists for their purpose, existed for their purpose. It exists for our purpose. Everything that's going on is happening for our benefit. You own all things. We own all things. So therefore, we never have to regard any want. That's what he said here. I just saw it. So, oh yeah, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. I mean, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Therefore, you know that if there is a want or a desire, it's a trick. The evil one has tricked you. And so rather than worry about whether you should or shouldn't, you give it to God. It's a very simple life. As the serpent beguiled Eve with his subtlety, let nothing confuse you from the simplicity that is in Christ. Amen? I'm really glad that we started studying Colossians. I thought it was going to be today. Check the tape. I meant to do it today.
Oh, okay.
I was just going to finish up those last few closing things and then start Colossians.
We interrupted.
It's Bojo's garrulous questions.
Incessant question.
I do that all the time.
Anybody have any response to anything I said? Anything? Any thoughts or any expansions?
Yeah. No, I was thinking about, you know, the praying stuff. And it's like, you know, when we're talking about prayed all kinds of ways, you know, in a place where they taught you how to pray.
Well, you don't have to worry about how to pray, I hope.
Right. Well, I did it one time. I really concerned about that. But it was for all the wrong reasons, though. You know, it wasn't for... it was all for the wrong reasons. It was to get stuff, and for God to do stuff for me, and all that stuff.
It's the stuff that gets you in trouble.
Right. And so, You know, I found out that, you know, that didn't work. And even when I thought I was praying for the right stuff, you know, some of the stuff that I've heard in here, and you know, it's like, okay, nothing happening there, or even, you know, because I can't see it, but, you know, I get something. But anyway, it's like, but, you know, like when you said, when we're talking about, you know, just making the request known, let it go, and you know, let God, you know, do whatever it is, you know, he does.
And if anything is troubling you about any of those things that you're praying for, then you, the idea that if it isn't, if you haven't given it away, if it keeps returning,
right,
that's the Holy Spirit telling you to talk to somebody or to open up, so that you don't, so nothing confuses you to think that what's going on is about you.
But then, you know, the, you know, what I forget is the simplicity of it, and you know, it's like, wow, you know, and it's the things that I do to, you know, complicate it, make it complex, and it's like, oh, I can't figure it out, you know,
and
it's
like, nuts, and that's, again, you, the moment you leave the rest, if by saying, Father, forgive me, you don't return, it's the Holy Spirit telling you to talk to somebody. Doesn't mean go talk to Oli. It means to talk to anyone that's in the body. But there's the peace of God, which passes all understanding, if it isn't manifest, then it's the Holy Spirit telling you to talk to somebody, to open up, to be vulnerable. It's never something that you struggle with. And by that vulnerability, then we're commending ourselves openly to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And that is what knits us together. And that's what he wants. Not for us to be a bunch of individual grapes, but to be the new wine. It's got to be seen. Come on in, that's all right. It's got to be seen from that simple standpoint, instead of trying to figure everything out. All righty. Take it, big guy.